Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Flying solo tonight. Better half is out for dinner. So I've got one eye on the nanny cam and the other eye on our run sheet.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Sounds good. Night at home is always nice. It was funny when I called you, you were like, oh, hello. It's you're like, I haven't spoken in an hour, but I guess I must talk to myself a lot when I'm at home. I had a bit of a rough day. I'm coming pretty good now, but some crook guts kept me at home. So it's been a bit of an interesting one, but we're doing all right now, and fortunately I'll be back at work tomorrow. So lucky me. Nah, it should be good. We come good. But yeah, it's been a bit chill. How about you?
Yeah, pretty chill. Obviously we got out and threw some frisbees on the weekend, was nice. Up and down that mountain, my watch told me I did 80 flights of stairs.
Wow.
Playing roughy, on the Sunday, but then managed to back it up and went for a run Monday morning. So feeling good.
Beautiful. We like that. We like that a lot. We got to go straight in with a correction, straight into an apology to Matthew Finnegan, a listener. You affectionately, every time, think about the hair on your chinny.
Yeah, whiskers on his chinny.
I actually met him this weekend and I was like, I'm just not going to bring that up. but he sent something in. He said, just listen to Throwers on the bus into town on Thursday morning. Da, 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 just letting us know we're the best. I need to correct you on your mate Peter Barry. I don't know Pete, but he's not on a sausage roll for Div C wins. I won Div C at Bald Hill, but couldn't take the chocolates as I also won the CTP on the day. And we love that. Anytime someone comes and lets us know, hey, no, I won.
Yeah.
We love that. So cheers for that, and apologies, Matt. Well done on your win at Bald Hill.
100%. He texts me about it, and I just replied saying, sweet mate, but just so you know, fact checking us is a slippery slope. Probably wouldn't get too hung up on it if I was you.
Exactly. We also got a message from Dave Gannett.
I thought you were going to say Dave Perry, but carry on.
Oh, no, from Dave Perry, no. From Dave Gannon, when the weather was looking really sketchy, he wanted to know what people's thoughts might be for would you rather play in 36 degree heat or would you rather have the rain that we were predicting for the Sunday. So we liked that. We put that up as a poll. What was the results? I don't even remember seeing it.
I got you. It was closer than you think. But I don't know if that was swayed by obviously the forecast changing somewhat. And so I don't know if people were like, oh, I want to play on the Sunday because that forecast has changed a little bit. But what it was...
Good puffing there.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I've got it ready in front of me. 59% Saturday, 41% Sunday.
Okay, there you go. I'd rather play in 50 degree heat than a drop of rain. I think. You?
Yeah, probably.
I hate the fucking rain.
Yeah. Good call.
All right, what else on the punch? Oh, so I've written down, I've solved Brody's team championships. So for the people who don't listen to Tour Life, Brody Smith, very outspoken, has long been saying that team disc golf isn't a thing. Like, doesn't, you got Innova, Discraft, whatever. They're not really teams. They're just people, and they just happen to throw it for that company. So people need to stop thinking about it that way. And he's just done a full, not a 180, but he's saying it should go 180. He's saying it should be heavily team based because people are already sort of have that team mentality, like the fans do. They're like, oh, I might like this player, but I would never buy. I like Isaac Robinson, but I would never buy a Prodigy disc. Stuff like that. And so him and Yuli just be saying stuff now. That's the part that frustrates me. They just have all these things. It's like, oh, yeah, you could do this and you could have doubles this and this and that. Team just graph versus the... lot of stuff. Lot of stuff with no, like, clear focus, I don't think. And that's why it won't go anywhere. But I think I've solved it. So don't worry about... immediately, you got to not worry about, like, the doubles and shit. Like, this just has to happen as the Pro Tour's happening. It can be all the events. It could be just maybe the Elite Series events, whatever they want to do. But you're not going to be making new events about... they're already sort of bitching about that new Pro Tour, maybe just taking days of rest that people might have away. So they're not going to make any stuff for it, but you can run it alongside it. He's just like, all the teams will just kick in $1 million and that'll be the prize pool. That's not going to work. Like, why on earth would Casaplas kick in $1 million when they know that they're going to get murdered? You know what I mean? Discraft has all the best players.
Correct.
But I sort of look to an unlikely place, the Australian government. And I think of the coalition. And when you don't have the numbers, maybe you team up. So I think you can enter teams, and people like Discraft would enter a team. Innova would enter a team. But let's say Latitude 64 is like, hey, Casaplas, and I don't know, some other bullshit. We want to enter a team together. And then they come up with their own liability structure. You know, we pay 60%, you pay 25%, you pay 15%, and we get, you know, the same rewards back that same way. And combine members. Boom. Now we've got something. And now you can sort of pick your players for your events. Just say, hey, you know, these are our five players that we're putting out. You can figure out your point structure and you can sort of do it around that. But that's how it's done. It's not just manufacturers, because too many of them are trash. You've got to be able to submit your own team and have the companies be able to do that. Or just, like, pick up dudes, you know, or women as well. But, like, pick up people maybe as free agents.
Yep.
Like that. Because it can't just be – it'll never happen if it's just – no. Why would anyone go up against Discraft? Like, you'll never beat them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like it. I did hear the episode where they kind of – Brody's, like, went 180 on it and – let's just put all eggs in that basket. And it's an interesting hypothetical. But, yeah, the coalition idea works. I wonder also if it would have to necessarily be a manufacturer. You know, could you have, like, the Estonian government step in and be like, nah, we're Team Estonia.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Under my model, that could, someone just needs to put in a team.
Yeah. Wicked. I could get around this.
Yeah, and it could be Team Estonia, like you just said. Then they, you know, they'd have to tell their manufacturers, like, well, I can't play for you or whatever, but...
I'd love to see someone, like, is it Flight Factory or someone like that step up and be like, all right, what is Drew Kip... Team Open Bag.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like, the players could get together if they wanted. You could get 10 players... and they could decide together they want to front the bill to enter the comp.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pick a captain amongst themselves. Like, it doesn't have to be anything like that. Just, like, have a slot for the maximum of six teams or something to start off with. And we're taking submissions.
I think it is tough with Team Discraft just playing Pokemon and got to collect them all. Like, it's... they're the front runners if this gets off the ground soon. I almost wonder if you need to, you know, teams of five with a rating cap, because Team Discraft can just take the piss with Ricky and AB and a few others.
Yeah. No, I get that. I don't know. I feel like if you got to do it, you just got to go balls in and maybe some risks will be taken. And then it'll start being to the point where other teams will be more competitive with putting out offers, because right now it doesn't really matter. So if Discraft wants to be the one to pay them, well, good on them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you find, like, a rogue team that's just putting some shit together and they're like, you want in, boom, then all of a sudden they're not on Discraft. I think it could work, and it just could run alongside the other stuff. But yeah, they just got to be more fluid with the teams, I think, because it's all well and good coming from Brody and Yuli, because they're like, yeah, pick us, well, sure, done. But yeah, I think I solved it. So they listen, I think. So
they definitely do.
All right, I've got the tee off counter here, and ding, 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 we've got one.
What?
The pressure that we must have applied, the overwhelming pressure from being called out in Throwlers is so evident because I listened to the episode and this was recorded November.
What?
Yeah, it's wild. They've got Dave Perry on there fresh after his Nationals victory, like might have been on driving home. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand why it wasn't released early. It's very, very strange. But it was definitely recorded in November. Like, Timmy Bohan gave us a nice shout-out for running the Grip 6, and he was very hopeful that we do it again next year.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, so very, very odd. But we have one episode, and straight away we got a meme. Are we naming our sources, or are they worried? I think it's fine. We got a. I'll name him. Sorry about this. We got a meme sent in from Alex Evans. It was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
And it got lots of feedback, you said.
Yeah. No, lots of feedback. It was one of our, one of our highest loved Facebook posts with people replying and everything and just loads of laugh reactions. Yeah, do correct me. Is it not normally, it's leap years, yeah? Once every 4 years, change that battery?
Something like that.
Yeah, I love that. And then it just works so perfect because their emblem almost looks like a smoke alarm. So I don't know if he meant that, but I was just like, this is funny on so many levels. Mm. Well done, Alex Evans.
Front runner for meme of the year for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's out of the gates in Feb. It's going to take some catching.
100%. But that was a good episode. So have a listen. They had Dave on and they talked quite a bit about his championship win, his Nationals win. So that was really cool. And I got a bunch of shout outs. So we got that mention in about that. And then we got another mention. They asked Dave who was the first like person he called. And he's like, oh, I didn't call anyone, but I did get a phone call. Someone came up to me, handed me phone, and Timmy B was straight away, do not tell me it was fucking Alan Brunsting and Throwlers. And he's like, no. And then I got a much worse shout out earlier than that. He had to mention that I took an 8 on hole 1 first round of the tournament. But I felt pretty special. 3 mentions. That's not bad.
There you go.
Not bad. All right. The Ruffy Rumble, that's the big one that happened on the weekend. So we'll have a bit of a deep dive into that. Before we do, I just want to give a lot of thanks out because, most of you just would have seen me dicking around, but there was a lot more to it. So I want to give, first off, the Melbourne Club, big shout out for letting me run the event and letting me use the 9 baskets and chaining them up and stuff, giving us a bit of trust there. So that's good. That all worked out really well. Also to Mike Vanderlinden, I sent him all the winners and their email addresses and what they won. And I think all of that money and vouchers went out today. So a lot of admin work there. Appreciate that, Mike. Also to Jeff Brunson, came out and gave me a hand. He looked after the baskets for me when I grabbed them the other week. And then he brought them out to Doncaster, helped me set them all up. Brett Bobridge as well came out and gave us a hand with that. And then Mike and Alex came around and helped me with some marking out. So I really appreciate all that. Zach gave us a hand unchaining them on the Saturday morning. Everybody on Saturday helped chain them back up. And Deros gave us a hand picking them all up after the event. So really appreciate that.
Just Ryan D hung around.
Well, I just asked for one person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit because I was driving around with the trailer. It's like fair enough. There's only so much you could do. A couple of people volunteered, but yeah, Deros was the first, and I just went with him.
Yeah.
Appreciate all that. It all ran really well. No dramas, no incidents, and should be back on again next year. So, very happy days.
bring it on.
We'll check out day one. Day one was a big day. A lot less people this year than last year, though, so I don't know what the deal with that is. Yeah, we had a bunch more, so I don't know.
Could be something to do with the 80 flights of stairs I mentioned earlier.
Could be. Maybe people just were over it. But 53 people on day one, some pretty decent division sizes, which were pretty good. We'll start with the juniors. MJ15, Marcus Davies. This kid's going to be good if he sticks around. I can tell you that. So first round, shoots a plus one, 912 rated. Same course as we played, and was fantastic. Like, that was huge. That was, I think that was the best score around one. There might have been an even or two, but yeah. The kid's 10. He's 10.
That's sick.
Yeah. So yeah, huge for him. Love that. Plus 10 in the second round. Yeah, that just might have been like tough for the young kid. I'm not sure. The wind picked up a bit, but. Yeah, he's got some potential for sure. So, big shout out Marcus Davies there. And in the FA4, Dolly Tupuro unfortunately had to pull out, but Marta had a couple really great rounds, well above her rating, and yeah, finished with a plus 32, would have won very comfortably anyway. So, well done there, Marta.
Yep, got to hang out with her on the Sunday a little bit. And, yeah, she was up and about her performance on Saturday. Well done, Marta.
She should be. What's looking at in the MA4? What happened there?
MA4, obviously, you know, the easiest division in the world to tip. I had Josh Quinn taking it down. I can't remember who you had it taking it down. But
Georgia Carroll DNF.
Yeah, the Georgia Carroll DNF, that's right. Paul Baker takes it out with some pretty consistent goal for 64 and a 67. Stuart Ward got out of the gates early with a 63 to take the lead, but was not able to back it up and fell down for a tie for third in the end. And Paul Baker, took out the victory.
Georgia Carroll's DNF comes on the heels of some very fantastic news, though. She is pregnant. So she told me at the start of the day that, big congratulations to her. So she's expecting a little bub, and she was like, I do not want to go walk around the hills in 35-degree heat. And I said, yeah, that's completely fair.
Yeah.
So, enough. Yeah, well done to Georgia.
Congratulations.
In the MA3 thick field, 15 players equal high for the day. But it was Levi Norton who I believe I tipped pretty comfortably over.
Well, yeah, we've got the Quinella,
right?
I've gone with the triangle.
You have.
He's jagged a second.
He has. I was impressed with that. He hasn't played disc golf in 6 years, it feels like, but
yeah,
straight into a second, and Luke Schruers and Damian Moosey there in third. So great events from all those guys, but Levi like pretty comfortably out ahead there, plus two. A 912 and a 924 rated rounds, well above his 884 rating. So he just handled the course better than the other guys, I think. So pretty close there with Chu and the others at plus 7 and plus 8. And then it sort of slowly sticks out for a bit there. But, yeah, huge efforts from Levi. And I won't mention who the worst finishing non-DNF is because he helped me out. But
good work not mentioning him.
Yeah, exactly. He came up to me after round one. He's like, you're gonna make fun of me so much. he's like, I just don't. I know, I'm just so shit. I don't know what happens. So definitely don't look at who came 14th in MA3. Please don't check that out, guys.
Don't look. FA2, Kim rocked up and you played a strong event. Had one round above her rating, one round below. She played about her rating. If Marta was in the same division, she would have got the victory by, what was
seven.
It? I did the math, seven strokes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, not bad there, Kim. Are you rolling MA2?
I will. Did we tip this?
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah.
At least. One of us did. Let's just say we both did. Oh, no, I would have dipped Narada.
Yeah, we're on fire here.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about Melbourne Disc Golf more often.
We should.
we're finally getting the hang of this. Anyway, Ash Wiener up and about again. God, he's playing good. Takes down Narada comfortably. Takes down Max Tats. Takes down Tommy Jankar. That was probably where you were looking, actually, on hindsight. Yeah, look out. Unfortunately, don't look at who came 15th. He has promised me that he won't continue to do that all year. And we will just wait with bated breath.
We'll see. I love how you've just said, look, we tipped this, but then didn't actually say his name. Glenn Maisie takes out the win. Plus two effort for him. I think he was plus three after round one and then a neg one, the only person of the whole day to shoot an under par round. So well done there, Glenn. And yeah, he was meant to play... What was he doing? I meant to play MA40, I think, on day two. And then, yeah, decided to shuffle across. And, yeah, worked out really well. So, solid performance there, Glenn.
Yeah. Now, ring-a-ding-ding. Obviously, hand on hearts. We did not tip this.
Nah.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah.
Obviously, MA50, you had Jeff Brunsting's in the field. You had Brett Bobridge. You had Finnegan Chinnigan. You had Mike Van der Linden. You had our mate Pete Barry, Doug Adams. You had sharks in the water, and Alex Evans has just gone, I'll have a bit of that. And I made the comment to him on Sunday, as he came around with us on the second round. I said, "Oh, you've taken down some big dogs," and Dad's corrected me immediately. He's like, Nah, he just became a big dog.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was like, yep, fair enough. There's a new shark in the water in MA50. Look out.
Yeah, big rounds there for Alex, well above rating. And just a slight victory, the one-stroke margin over Doug Adams, but plenty. That's plenty to go home with. And Peter Barry there in third. So he is up and about, Peter Barry. He's having quite the hot start to the year, so... Well done for him. Jeff Brunsting down there in last place. Well done to finish. He was dead. He was sitting on the ground with a wet towel around his head, bright red. But we had two people not even get through, not make the final round. Like, they pulled out mid-round. So, yep. Well done to 60-plus-year-old Jeff Brunsting for battling the heat and at least playing some disc golf.
Good job, Jeff. Good job.
Not great rounds, but he got it done. But no, it was a great day. Very, very hot. I got to sit on hole 11 and just watch them all chump it up. It was pretty fun. Last year, there was a lot more people, so I had to do a bit of herding. But this year, because of the extreme heat, I just got to sit there and laugh. But I did take some notes. And of some stuff that happened on hole 11. So hole 11 was the monster, the downhill par 4. And there was 7 people who made the island in 2 for the whole weekend, well, the whole day. We had Ross Davies, Paul Jankar, Ben Hare, Alex Evans, Doug Adams, and Max Tats. And Max Tats was the solo birdie for the whole day. So was that 53 people, so there was 100-odd shots at it. We got one birdie, so
there you go.
Big shout out to those guys. A couple of them were they were all pretty great. Max Tats didn't even make it past the blue basket. He hit those trees early and then just threw like a hectic. It was the only flex shot that I'd saw that actually worked, and he basically pinned it. Doug Adams was in the same spot, and I told him, you know, you can get there, and he lays it, and he's like, I cannot. It's 130 meters. I said, yeah, but it doesn't play like that. And he very frustratedly went, fine, and then put it on the island. The others were a bit more, class. Alex Evans, beautiful. Ben Hare as well. Nice. Paul Jankar just got way down. He took the CT with a long drive. He was way down by the path, and then pretty standard up shot for that. And Ross Davies, the old man of the young fella, he was just having fun out there, and he just threw a ripper low forehand from about the blue basket and put it on the island. So that was pretty impressive. And then there was a couple almost black aces. So the yellow and the blue basket, I think, took a pounding. So Matt Finnegan and Anthony Pearsall were very, very close. Why haven't I written his name down? Who was it? I can't remember his name now. That's killing me. He played both days. Anyway, he just slammed the cage. It was insane. I don't know how he didn't get it. Johnny Martin. Jesus, God, I'm stupid.
There you go.
Johnny Martin absolutely slammed the cage of the blue basket. Like, felt real bad for him because it took a bunch of distance off as well. But that was pretty sick. So, almost a black ace for them. But there was an actual ace, a $200 ace.
Yeah, there was.
And went to Matthew Harris, I believe, right?
Yes, correct.
He took down hole two, which was sick. Hole two was a little shorter than we played on day two. But still, it was a really good shot. And $200 should be in his pocket right now. So, well done, Matthew Harris.
Yeah, that's cool. Such a cool ace. It's still double Mando, treacherous, over a valley. That's a cool ace.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's all set the scene and the standard for what was day two to come with Omega 33 players. But some good ones there. And in MA 40, it was a, like, it doesn't look like an interesting battle, but it certainly was. So, Taron went into round one with a couple stroke lead, I think.
Yeah, minus two versus even.
Yeah, very nice. Minus two round, 947 rated. Jay Ross there at even, nothing to sneeze at as well. We did mention this would be a two-horse race, but in round two, one of the horses fucking fired. So, Jay went in with a neg five round two. 974 rated, and Taron just could not handle that. He ended up five strokes worse, and Jay takes out a six-stroke win. So, neg five plays neg one, and big showing from Dan Bradshaw there to take out third place, but very impressive work with by Jay Ross.
We tipped that entire podium.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Dan Bradshaw came in with no rating,
mm-hmm.
and we had Jay and Taron at the top, and then we're like, yeah, but beware Dan Bradshaw, no rating. So we've absolutely dominated that.
We're just the best. We're so good at this. Before we move on real quick, I've got a Glenn Ralston story. So from the MA40 guys, he sent me in an email about him and Ash. So he goes, I'm not sure if you're going to mention the CTBs, and I probably won't, but he took out the MA41, which is hole two, further back. It wasn't particularly close, but it was probably inside the circle. And he said, before you congratulate me too much, what did he do? He four-putted and took a double bogey. So he gets a CTB, but took a double bogey on the hole. Pretty hectic.
I love that. I've done that at Ballarat once.
Brutal. And he was playing with Ash Wiedner. He goes, last hole of four rounds in 2 days, because Ash is one of the warriors who battled out on both days. He was the first to tee off after getting a very nice par on hole 11. So he's on hole 12, that uphill one. Catches an edge about a third of the way up the hill. And it
I've seen footage of this.
Rolls back down the hill straight back to the middle of the path that they tee off from. He ended up 3 meters behind the tee off, just the path. Brutal. He said he handled it like a champion, though. Didn't say anything and just started working out how to play his next shot. Great recovery and took a four. But yeah, apparently he was laughing so hard that he ended up fucking his tee shot up. So, so yeah, thanks for sharing the story there, Glenn. And yeah, bad luck there, Ash. But good recovery, mate.
Yeah, great recovery. I saw a photo of where he was taking his second from. Unbelievable.
Mm.
All right, jump it up to MA1, the last of the AMs, and geez, they went ham. played some high. They went played some highly rated events. Out of the gates in round one was Kalen with a neg two, closely followed by three players tied on neg one: yourself, Oscar, and Penn, all going under the card. You also Don and Tommy Jankar playing a much better day two than he did day one on even. So just no separating them. And you may remember, obviously, last Wednesday, I said, look, he's going to win an MA1 at some point this year. Why not this one? And I did tip young Kalen, Sideshow Bob, and he went and shot a minus five round two to hold off Oscar. And Penn ran it out the podium. You must be pretty close there, right, Alan?
Oh, yeah, right there.
You're just right in there somewhere.
Just right in there somewhere. No, I fell all the way to seventh, mate. I think it was just like a six-hole stretch. Like, first few holes were fine. I was just taking pars or whatever, and then Kalen and Oscar just birdied them all, it felt like. And then, what was it? The hole nine, I hit, like, immediately that first tree, and then recovered pretty good but missed the putt, like, whatever. And then 10, you get through 11. I just didn't make the island, another bogey, like, whatever. But and it just stopped. Then I just stopped having any control over my throw. It was crazy. So took a huge number on 13, threw it out of bounds on 14. I'm trying to throw, like, the low slight turnover with my flippy buzz to that basket on 14. And I threw a spike height.
Yeah, cool.
Like, I just, like, that's where it came out. It went high right, hit the tree, and out of bounds. I'm like, oh, sick. Like, I had nothing. I had zero control for, like, six holes or something. Like, then we got back down to hole 16, and I, like, threw it fine again. I was like, cool. Pured that line, birdied 17, 18 was fine. One was, like, nice shot. They're just too far away. And then finished with a beautiful birdie on two. And I'm just like, what happened? Like, what happened? So, I don't know. Just lost it. And it sucks. Sucks shit.
Yeah.
Like, 8-6-9 round. Oh, I haven't had a round under 900 this year. And I've played a decent amount of disc golf this year. 9:37 start. Feeling good. And you just lose it. Fuck, man. Hole 13 got me. I took five over on hole 13. And over the two rounds, and I finished plus four for the event. So you do the math.
Ouch.
Yeah, they were all pretty unnecessary too. But anyway, but yeah, enough about me. There was some good stuff. If I knew Oscar was playing, I probably would have tipped him. He was very good, but Kalen was just on. I think he birdied like four out of the first five holes, and we're like, oh, okay, all right, cool.
Fair enough. There
goes that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, nah, he was just very good, and I'm sure he'll go strength to strength. 974 rated second round is big. But, yeah, it was closer than you might think. Oscar missed a bit of a dinker on hole 17, I think, to keep it pretty close, and then hits a monster putt, like a sick putt on hole 18. And then Kalen, about like maybe a meter closer, just goes whack and drains that as well for like the seventh Allen frame of the day. so nah, pretty close. A couple putts go a couple different ways, it could have been much spicier hole two to finish. But well done, Kalen, and big shout out Johnny Martin. Like, huge event for him. 843 rated, played both days, jumps into MA1 because it's, you know, all he could play on this day. Takes out a fourth with a 906 and a 942 rated round. I had a special prize for someone who played both days. I didn't exactly know what I was going to do with it yet, but it was a nice Jeremy Colling MVP tempo. And yeah. Once I saw Johnny Martin shoots an even round and comes fourth in MA1, boom, that was my winner. So big shout out to him. Huge effort.
Yeah, that is awesome. 80 points above his rating.
Yeah.
What shook out in MP40? Anything exciting?
Nah, pretty quiet. Pretty standard. We tipped this, didn't we?
Yeah, of course we did.
Dazza killed it. Neg 11, first round. Like, I shot a plus one, and I was like, I played all right. Played all right here. And Dazza just goes 10 more for a 10-40 rated round. huge and fair. Like, he killed it. He smoked everyone. Like, a good score was one or two down. He shoots 11.
Yeah.
So, yeah, huge performance by him. Just absolutely blew Ruben and Josh out of the water. I think I did say that I like Dazza when he doesn't get to practice. Like, when he has, he just rolls up and plays it. So, I still don't think I tipped him, but. But yeah, he smoked it, and then an even round for round two. So I didn't actually get a chance to chat to him to see what prompted an 11 stroke difference. But it doesn't fucking really matter. He wins by 11, and he shot a 10-40 rated round. Like,
yeah, he was obviously just getting looks. I got to play with him round two. He was obviously just getting looks all round one and cashing putts. He got less looks round two. He was just obviously not quite getting off the tee as clean. I'm sure his stats weren't bad, actually, to be honest. I probably took his stats, but they're not. Hang on, round two. Clicked to round two. Yes, I did take his stats. What have we got here? C1 putting. He made 9 out of 13 C1 putts. So
it's all right.
He missed 4 C1 putts. He had 10 looks from C2 and made none.
So that's
the story. He just wasn't getting in C1 as much.
Fair enough. Makes sense. What about MPO? How did that fare?
We're all over this. Dylan Feldman was
clear favorite.
Clear favorite and romped the field. He unfortunately missed the memo and came out of the gates in third behind on a minus three behind Ville with a minus four. Ryan Deere minus nine, not matching Daz's round, but I was on that card as well, and it was pretty good. And he had one filthy spit out. He had one putt, like one 4.5 meter putt that he missed. But he also cashed some 6 C2 putts. So it comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
Minus nine, good round. Phil minus four. I was there for that as well. Then you had Nathan Parrish on the even and myself playing pretty well with a plus two.
Big.
Big. Good. Just 11 shots off the pace. Just wanted to hang out, obviously, with the MP40 guys in round two. Away they went round two, and Ryan Deere backed it up, unlike Daz, and went and so finished the event minus 17. Dylan Feldman had a better second round, but still did not make any gains on Ryan Deere. Dill takes second, Ville takes third. Parrish shot a minus three, nice round two, and I got a couple of birdies in round two to also finish under the card.
Yeah, beautiful. Deere was a very good performance, 1,000 plus both rounds to come out to about 1,010 rated events. So really, really good by him, and hopefully a good sign of things to come. He will be at the Sizzler in a couple of weeks, so hopefully he can spice some things up there and keep that train rolling. I did ask him afterwards about how Dill went, and he said that Dylan didn't miss shit inside like 15 meters. But his problem was getting there. So the body apparently still isn't just feeling quite right. So Nate shouldn't have egged 970 odd rated. Not so bad. But yeah, there's still some of the tank. Hopefully he can get that body sort a little bit, but this might just be what the deal that we get from now on. He might just be like a top 10 Australian disc golfer instead of a 102. So not too bad.
Dylan also keeps his stats, which is nice to see. I know I love being able to click on this. Round one, he made 7 out of 10 C1s and he made 2 out of 7 C2s. And then round two, he made 8 out of 10 C1, and he made 2 out of 8 C2s.
Okay, well, Ryan might have exaggerated a little bit, but...
it's still good numbers. Like, he's hit, you know, maybe the rest of those C2 parts were outside 15 metres.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe did hit all of his inside 15.
Yeah, nice. Great day as well. I was pretty sad with my outcome. It's a lot of work then to shoot an 860-something rated event round, but what are you going to do?
I gave the shout outs for hole 11 for day one. So I took notes on the birdies on hole 11 for day two. And there wasn't many. So Ruben, Seb, Dylan, Penn, Nate Parrish, Kalen, and myself take out the birdies on day two. So well done to all of us. We're great. No birdies for you on hole 11?
No.
It was not tough. It was playing tough this weekend with that wind.
On no occasions was I across the path in two throws.
Fair enough. That's not great. I still think I like it. We've played a bunch of versions of this hole. We've had some par fives further up the hill. It ends up clashing with the hole 10, which I quite like, but we can always change things. What do you think? Do you like the par four from that tee pad, or do you think a par five from further up the hill would be the ticket?
Great question. I prefer this. I do prefer a par five from further up the hill, or I just prefer a par. What you can't do is you can't unleash. Like, so what used to be fun about that hole was being able to unleash on the drive. You can't unleash. You're actually throwing a bit of a controlled shot to your, navigate the trees if you're using that tee pad, and therefore you kind of lose that fun. I wonder if we went to a grass tee pad and still had it as a par four, but from the middle of the grass, I wonder if that way you could just like air one out a bit more. But with where that tee pad is and with the trees in play, you are, the play is actually a sidearm off the tee, and like I'm going sidearm if I play it well. So I do miss that element of being able to just watch one sail for as long as it sails.
Gotcha. No, that is fair. Might have to check that out sometime before next year. If anyone is out in that way and wants to try to find a cool spot there, then please do so and let me know. Before we move on, I think both our throwers guarantees were involved around the MPO division, and I was going to get the recording up and play a little snippet, but I think you and I both agree that very fortunately for me, the way we ended up wording the throwers guarantee is that first place would beat second by more than third place beat fourth. Is that correct?
Yeah, agreed.
And I love that.
Yeah,
because,
obviously, Dylan's name was getting bandied around. But, like, even if you had I would have given you longer odds if you had said Ryan Deere would do it. like, it doesn't matter who was going to do it. It was just, I just scored you up on the gaps, and that's the way we said it.
Well, it sounds good, because Deeros beat Dill by 8, and Ville beat Parrish by 4. So I'll take the 3. The odds weren't great, but I'll take them. That brings me up to 14, tied with you. And yours was that you would podium. And I gave yourself a 7 for that. And I guess it should have been a 10, because you were 7 strokes off the podium.
Yeah, suckered me in. I nearly jumped at the 4 when you offered it, and you retracted it, and you made it a 3, and I was like, oh, now 3 shit. I'll go for the 7 anyway. The rest is history.
Big. Love that, because, now we are tied. All tied up. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Perfect.
All right. So there's not much on this week. So
isn't there?
No.
Is it?
Or like on there? The pod? I meant. What have I missed?
The pod.
What to talk about? This week. Before we get to the throwers guarantee, I want to introduce a new segment, and hopefully I haven't... this will work out very nice. No, go away. This should work out nice. This is a new segment, and it's called... If I could turn back time. It's called Turn Back Time.
Love it.
And... what we'll do is that you or I will just randomly look back at a tournament from our back catalogue, from our years past. We're both, old in disc golf terms, and in Australian disc golf terms, we're very old. So
yes, correct.
We've got a very large back catalogue dating back to, 2014, 13?
12.
I've got 12.
Yeah,
I've got
12 for you. Online. Yeah. So I've sort of randomly had a look back before, and I'm picking out the hot start from 2020. So we've been playing that hot start for a bit. There were 26 players at hot start, the first tournament of the year in the world for 2020. And this was pre-COVID. We were still playing disc golf freely at this point. We had, who else? In MA4, none other than Chris Scott. And I'll just double check here or click on his name. Yeah, it is definitely not the snapper, but it is no PDGA rating, Chris Scott, who shoots. Did he even win? I've just mixed up the order. Yeah, he takes the win out by 8 strokes over Callum Kirkpatrick, and Dean Feely. So, big event for him, 840 and 850 rated rounds. Boom. Big things coming from that man. In MA2, the intermediate division, because it'd be pre-MA3, we had the winner was Jacob Cruden, back when he wasn't so trash at disc golf. Followed by Pat Oudry, Taron Anderson, Alan Brunsing, Jordy Staith-Smith, Daz's brother, Chris Eltringham, half of Portal, Mike Spangenberg, correct, playing in intermediate, and Nicholas Valentini. So solid field there. I did not bring my best disc golf. Good round one, trash round two. Who'd have seen that coming? In MA50, Terry Bohan gets it done over Jeff Brunsting by one stroke. In MA40, Paul Arden still there. Murders Lee Thompson and Luke Feldman. In MPO, we have Dave Perry with a 2-stroke victory over Dazza Staith-Smith. And Joseph Quinn, Ryan Budge, Tim Bohan, and Dill Feldman. 946 rated Dill Feldman there in sixth place.
Just
3 strokes ahead of Chris Reynolds. Still 944 rated Chris Reynolds. And Dill Spangenberg was there as well. Got absolutely smoked by them all. But not last. Last in MPO back then was just routinely Cam Ford. So.
Yeah, we need a word for the opposite of sandbagging, because Cam Ford did it for years.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was turn back time. That was a hot start 2020. And a bit of fun seeing Chris Scott down there in MA4 and Dylan not being that good. But Dave Perry, you got to go back pretty far before Dave Perry isn't shit. I always say that I've played long enough that there's always an event somewhere where I've beaten everyone. And I actually don't think there is one where I've beaten Dave Perry.
No way.
he was pretty good, pretty quick.
Yeah.
We'll do that again next time. There's not much on. I'll send you a thing. You can pick the next one or something like that. But turn back time. Has any that they know about that they want us to give a shout out, let us know.
As long as you don't ask me to, like, recall, like, my quad bogey, like, I don't remember
that at all.
Yeah, I don't remember my holes at Ruffy Rumble on the weekend.
No, it's just fun looking back at all these things and seeing different people playing and different things and seeing who was good and who was shit then, because you just sort of forget.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do some throwlers guarantee.
Yes, please.
The Stony League is back. Well, the Stony Social Days are back, I mean. So yes. I'm assuming that's where we're heading.
That is absolutely where I'm heading. I could have obviously looked at the Discraft Supreme Flight Open presented by Florida's Adventure Coast, which with the Pro Tour obviously kicking off this weekend, which is pretty exciting. Make sure all of those in Chris Houston's tipping comp get your tipping in, or don't. I don't give a shit.
I got to do that.
You can take a zero if you wish. But I'm definitely looking at Stony. What about you?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I'm just getting it up now. Got a tip on Stoney. I may show up. I'm a sneaky chance, but I got a bit of work to do this weekend. So, but yeah, who knows? I might just sneak there right after the gym.
I'm cooking something up, but again, what I'm cooking up is a doubles battle.
Mm.
And what hurt me, obviously not that long ago, was if any one of those players pull out, I'm just like null and void.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, I'm increasing that chance by tipping four people.
Mm.
So as I'm saying this out aloud, or after, as you're saying yours, I might, if it's okay with you, I might say, look, if this DNFs, can I have a plan B? And my plan B is this.
Oh, I'll allow that. That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Just because you're putting too many players in the
mix. Yeah, no, it's good. I like this because you know what will happen is whatever you select won't win and your plan B will. So I'm all for this.
All right, sweet. So I need – I've got four players. We're going to doubles it up, and I might mix up the partners based on the numbers that you give me, okay? So I've looked at the ratings, and I've tried to find two equal players. So I look at me and Penn. I'm 945 rated. Penn's 944. So obviously very, very close. I look at Jacob Cruden. And,
what are you talking about, Jacob?
Yeah, and I look at Mike Vanderlinen. You've got 895 and 893.
Mm-hmm.
So score this up to start off with. The way I've paired us up is – Mike and Oscar versus Jacob and me.
Oh, okay. You said Penn, but then you just didn't name him. Sorry, Mike and Oscar.
Oh, wicked. Oh, yeah. Hang on. Yeah, you raise a good point here. What have I done? What? How close is Oscar to us? Oh, nah. Sorry, Oscar. I meant Mike and Penn.
Mm-hmm.
I meant Mike and Penn.
You and Jacob.
Yeah.
Well, Penn's, if it's you and Penn, I'm giving Penn a 1 point edge. And then if it was Mike versus Jacob, I'll give Mike a 1 point edge. So I think that's two. So I think that's a 7-3. It's Penn's way. Penn and Mike.
Yep, so Penn and Mike are the three.
No.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Penn and Mike are the seven.
Yeah. It's dangerous. It's you at Stoney's dangerous. I don't love that. But Penn and Mike, it takes Penn and Mike win. So Penn and Mike 3, you and Jacob 7.
Oh, Jesus, you got me super excited there for a period of time. Yeah, yeah. All right. My bad. All right. So now I'm gonna swap JC and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's Chris and Mike versus Penn and JC.
It's starting to get squirrely, but by my logic, that's even. By what I said before, that's even. So fives, I think. What'd you say, Chris and Mike?
Yep.
Penn and JC.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give you fives.
All right. Loving this. I'm going to go with, Chris and Mike on the five.
Chris and Mike beat Penn and Jacob.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. You've got Jacob, so that's never great. But you'll just shoot 10 or 11 down at Stoney, so that's also not great. But we'll go for it. That's fine. We're there.
All right. Yeah.
What's your backup?
My backup will be if you scroll down to Division X, non-member Division Z, you'll find Ryan Hart. So looking at Division A, right, comparing to Division A or just on raw scores, however you want to say it, what would you score me for a Ryan Hart podium?
Ryan Hart, yeah. I just don't love him there, but I'm not too worried about those three. Bang, bang. Four, three. I'll give you a four.
And I will. Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Like Ryan, DR, Penn,
mm-hmm.
me, I will.
But you'll shoot like 11 down.
Yeah, I know. I know. I will take the six.
All right, that he doesn't podium. That's your backup.
Yeah.
Cool. Nah, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'll just look at. There's the four players left that you haven't mentioned. I might try to have a look at them. I think I said I was going to stay away from the top divisions and creep back into the lowers to once I got a bit of mojo back, which I did. Who am I looking at? Seeing a lot of people. It's a thick field. How many people we got coming?
That was like 100.
50. Oh, Stoney's back, mate. What is going it on? Is. This is great. Who do I like here? I wonder if I do a bit of. This is rough. Johnny Martin had a fantastic showing at what's it called, Ruffy Rumble. So
certainly did.
What do I have him up against? Who do we like? Chris Koo even. So Johnny Martin versus Chris Koo. What are we getting out of that?
Oh God, Chris Koo has him comfortably covered. When you look at, I looked at the 8.72. It's 8.34. Okay, phew. I looked at Tim Stevenson's rating. Yeah. Chris Koo goes in favourite. Chris Koo goes in at a. When was the last time Chris Koo played? Jesus Christ. Does Chris Koo even play disc golf anymore?
he just played the Ruffy Rumble.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sweet. Because he hasn't played a social day since 2023.
All right. You want me to swap him for Peter Barry? Will that make life easier for you? Or go Pete Barry versus Johnny Martin?
Yeah, yeah. Now they're tight and Pete had a decent weekend. I reckon Johnny goes in favourite just after that elite showing. He can have a four.
All right, I'll take Pete for six.
Pete for six?
I'll take Pete for six. Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
For sure.
All right, fair enough.
I like that. I won't worry about any backups. I'll just trust my boys to show up.
Yeah, well, you're tipping two people, you're fine.
Exactly. Very nice. All right, we've got Spotlight and Not Light to finish.
Yep. You are so good at knowing what hole numbers you're talking about when you talk about Ruffy Rumble.
Yes.
I do not know any of those numbers. So I'm just going to have to use some OG lingo, and I'm going to open up with my Not Light. Obviously, I did not play particularly good, and that's fine. Let me just wave to the wife. She's just arrived home. G'day, Ella. You're on the podcast. Say hi. No one heard her. She said fuck off. I'm going to Not Light myself for my putting on normal hole 9 yellow basket. That's the short dinker hole on Ruffy Rumble.
Oh, yep, little, hole 8.
Hole 8, little sidearm Nuke OS number. Piece of piss. Did not put it outside. I wish I was exaggerating, but I did not put it outside 4 meters. I probably didn't put it outside 3.5. And did not birdie that hole.
Oh, gross. That's so gross.
So I am not lighting my putting round 1 and 2 for missing 4 meter putts on that basket.
Gross. Don't like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird one. That hole, once you put that out of bounds in, it started just fucking with people's heads. It was so weird. Like, I'd throw a straight putter at that every single time normally, and then I did it again. I took 2 birdies, albeit with a nice putt on the first one. But all of a sudden, like, people are like, that's a brave choice. Like, what do you mean? Like, just throw a putter straight at it. People are trying all kinds of crazy shit, and they're going out of bounds. So I love that. That'll definitely be back next year. Yours was a bit more embarrassing, but that's fine.
Hang on. You're talking about the wrong hole.
The shortest hole on the course with the close out of bounds.
No. Short. Must be like hole 5 or 6 or something. No, I said normal roughy nine.
Normal roughy nine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That hole. Yeah, that's stiff. Yeah. You should. Yeah, fair enough.
I was like, how are you throwing a putter straight at that? Yeah, there was no straight shot on that hole.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's hole five. My bad.
Yeah.
I know the roughy rumble holes a lot better than I know the normal roughy holes. But that makes sense because, yeah, normal nine. That's my bad.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, I don't really have any knowlots. I don't know. It was a nice weekend. And, yeah, people helped me out and course went smoothly. The only thing I didn't like was my second round and whatever. I'm not going to give myself a knotlight for being shit. I've done that too many times. So, no knotlights this weekend. I'll roll right into my spotlights because we might have the same one. So, I just want to get into it. get it before you do. My first spotlight, well, my honourable mention, and is also a PSA, goes to Kirsten Murray. So, we talked about the Tassie Open the other week and how she was playing MA1.
Mm-hmm.
But when you had a look at the ADG write-up of the event, they had her taking out the points for FBO.
Awesome.
And PDGA and ADG are very different things. So, you can enter into whatever in PDJ to play that, but then let the TD know that for ADG purposes, keep your score as X division.
Love this.
Yeah, and so she's done it. She's a jet. We talked about how certain players in the women's division, like primarily Huss, ended up playing a bunch of divisions last year, and that sort of robbed her of different things. So, this is why it's a bit of a PSA. I also had Ross Davies come up to me after round one when his young fella shot the incredible plus one. And he wanted to know if he could switch him into MA4 because he was destroying them all. And I said, well, no, I can't be switching him mid-round because he's fired up. I said, but this is a thing. Like, if you want, he wants to get the tour points and he wants to win MJ15. Which is fair. I said, but you can play MA4 and still do that. So I told him about that. And for anyone else that might apply to, just pass that info on. You can do that. Not that the tour means too much, but it is nice. And it's up on the website forever. You can always check it out. So yeah, that was good of Kirsten. I love her knowing the rules and doing that. But my actual spotlight has to go to Aiden and Brett for their performance at Choose Dubs. Negative 19.
Gross.
Is taking the piss. They got the two eagles and birdied every hole except for hole 18. They started on 7, so it's not like they had a dick on their final hole. They choked it about midway through. But that's fucked up. I think they beat their previous record of negative 18. Shot.
Yeah.
Insane. Like, I don't care how many times you played that course. That's really, really good. So, Aiden and Brett Zeeble get my spotlight. Pretty fucked up, boys.
Fair enough. We do not have the same. I completely forgot about that. That was gross last night. My honorable mention goes to PDJ Stat Tracker. I have given the app grief before for not being able to put OB in when you're scoring normally, and it is so simple to put an OB in when you are tracking stats. But actually, just tracking stats in general, it was like so much faster and user-friendly than UDisc. So on UDisc, obviously, you can track stats, but it's always just like, where does throw one land? You click a button and you wait and you wait and you wait. And it's like, where to throw two land? You're like, okay, Jesus. Anyway, PDJ, really smooth. That's my honourable mention. But my spotlight goes to the man of the hour. And Ash Whedon has summarised this beautifully when he hit me up about the meme, saying, some of your finest work, boys. And I said, that was actually a listener contribution. And he said, well, hasn't he had the fucking weekend of his life? he's just like won MA50 and then rolled out the best meme of the year. So, well done, young Alex Evans.
Young Alex Evans. Yeah, very well deserved. Love that. That was good. More from him would be good.
bring on the Pro Tour.
Yeah, that starts this week, eh? Shit, all right, I got to get my tips in.
Yeah.
So big. And then we got the Green Jacket the following weekend. Yikes.
Oh, you saw freshly dry cleaned. Oh,
you're a piece of shit.
Nice and embroidered, ready to put my name on 2025.
I just I sort of forget that it's been 3 years. Like, I just, I know too. It's like, I'll think about it. Yeah, you won a couple. It's all three. It's so frustrating. If you win again, I swear to God, I'll be so mad. I won't be able to handle it.
Surely not in my current form. Surely.
Yeah, that's what we said last year. That's what we said last year. All right, we'll talk about that next week anyway. Not that we know much about it, but yeah.
No, we know fucking nothing.
Kept in the dark.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.